This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Whereby we mention these two surahs are similar surahs to one another. A slight variance inside their themes, but however we find the content is identical at times. Even prior to that we find Surah Al-Fatiha gives this ishara towards Surah Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Don't make us go upon the path of those individuals who've earned the wrath of Allah or those who have been misguided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, the Prophet alayhim describes those individuals who've earned the wrath of Allah is al-Yahud waladdallin or dallun humun nasara. Those who've gone astray. Al-Ishara to what will come after it. Then predominantly most of Surah Al-Baqarah is speaking about Bani Israel. And predominantly most of Ali Imran, as we mentioned, 90 odd verses speak about Bani or the Wafd of Najran, the Bedouin Arabs or the Christians who came there. So the Quran gives this Ishara. That's why many ulama mention that Surah Al-Fatiha is a summary of the Quran. These seven ayat just summarizes the whole of the Quran. That's whoever understands Surah Al-Fatiha, Imam Razi wrote a whole voluminous work. One whole volume in itself just speaking about tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. Because everything just stems from this surah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spends 286 verses at Surah Al-Baqarah addressing Bani Israel. Ya Bani Israel, the story of Al-Baqarah, the Haifa, the cow, the story of Musa, and other discussions that take place all speak about Bani Israel. And then Ali Imran begins to speak about Ahlul Kitab. But a key element about these two surahs, because many of us, we think that these two surahs coupled together, 286 verses Surah Al-Baqarah, 200 verses of Ali Imran, making 486 verses predominantly ahkam, rules and regulations, is partially true. But there's a deeper meaning of the Qur'an that many of us fail to understand. Because many of us, the Qur'an has just become a book of just seeing things of ahkam, rules and regulations, and trying to apply them upon people. We don't seem to understand the message of spirituality. Many of us are studying Islam just for some other reason, rather than to try to benefit ourselves and extract the spirituality that exists inside the Qur'an. And that's what our journey is about, extracting these supplications of how to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Surah Al-Baqarah just to help us to understand the context, the nature of the Qur'an or spirituality. Allah mentioned, حَافِذُوا الْصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Guard your prayers and guard the middle prayer. وَقَوْلُ الرَّاجِحِ, the most accurate view regarding the middle prayer is Salat al-Asr. Allah says, preserve your prayers and guard the middle prayer. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand observant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously the meaning of this verse is quite clear. But what is the context? What's the siyaq, the context of this ayah inside Surah Al-Baqarah? The context is at-talaq, is divorce. That's the context of this ayah. قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهَا. Either before it, after it, the context is speaking about divorce. So what is the alaqa? What is the relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about divorce prior to this and after this? And it mentions this, حَافِذُوا الْصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. This is where spirituality comes into the Qur'an that many of us fail to understand. Qur'an is يُخَاطِبُ النَّاسِ, about reality of how we live life. It's not an abstract issue. It's about life, living life amongst us, that certain things that we face inside our lives, even the most despised things that we find that is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divorce, even though some ulama make a critique of this hadith, but the meaning is there, and it breaks society, it breaks a family, it breaks children, it causes destruction. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning inside these ayat? Because at a time of weakness, we don't assess ourselves. What is my relationship with the prayer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That during difficulties, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. In difficulties, am I coming more to the prayer or am I breaking down in my life? Trials and tribulations happen to every single individual. وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا لِلْخَاشِعِينَ الْإِسْتِعَانَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّبْرِ. The more the difficult, the trials, the tribulations, the more a person is observant. Person doesn't weaken and think, oh, there's difficulties going inside my life. Maybe I shouldn't come to the masjid, shouldn't come to the jama'ah, shouldn't read extra prayers. This hardship in my life, as if you're the only one. I'm the only one that this hardship is going through my life. There's been millions who went through hardships inside their life. And what do they do inside their life? They see the symbols of Allah. Guard yourself. That time of weakness inside a person's life is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we weaken, we bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't turn away. That's what this secular materialistic society preaches, that when difficulties come, we complain. What did God do for me? What's God done for me? Just an excuse. And that's, some Muslims, you know, that's what happens inside their life. They weaken and they think that, what has Allah done for me? Look at how much Allah has done for us and will do for us and continuously do for us. That's what we should look at. Small elements of things that happen inside our life are there for our own betterment. That's what ulama speak, that even fitna and trials come upon a person, individual. If it makes you come closer to Allah, it's no longer a trial. It's no longer tribulation. It's something to bring you close to Allah. Because Allah, يُحِبُّ عِبَادُهُ, Allah loves His servants. So sometimes we need to be shook. We need to be awoken. We need to be reminded that what is our purpose upon this earth? So Allah loves us. He wants to show us, drags us at moments and times inside our life. Because all of us, we can get distracted. That's the nature of the human being. We all get distracted with the world and the dunya around us. But Allah loves the believers and wants to give them the opportunity to return back to Him. Another passage inside the Quran to help us to understand moments of spirituality inside Surah Ali Imran. Because don't think that it's just us, even the companions at time. They lost faith, bima'na, they weakened in certain things. That they lost hope at times. But Allah reminds them, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَدُورَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. What's the context of this ayat? That the shout claim came out, the Prophet Muhammad has been killed. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Look at the praise of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who is just another messenger. Don't overpraise him in that degree. He has to finish his life on his dunya. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Khitab lil Nabi alayhi salam, innaka mayyit, you're going to die. Wa innahum mayyitun, and all of us are going to die. So now you companions at that moment in the battlefield, what happened to some companions? Someone said that the messenger has been killed. They just put down their weapons. There's no point carrying on. There's no point carrying on in warfare because the leader, the supreme leader, has died. So they put their weapons down. Others carried on, they persevered. And Allah reminds that the messenger, he may have to leave this dunya. And if you turn back on your heels, don't turn back on your heels. Persevere, carry on that journey. And then the ayat, the siyaq, they continue this deliverance of the believers. Till eventually the believers say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. They make this dua, oh Allah, forgive us our sins. Meaning that this weakness that we had of having this thought inside our lives, of not persevering inside our lives, and our excessive nature inside this dunya, fi amrin, and the things, israf, what is israf? Waste. Anything that doesn't bring you, ma yuqarribuka ila Allah, is israf. Anything that doesn't bring you close to Allah is a waste of time. Is a waste of time. Even if you eat and drink, if you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not wasting time anymore. To play with your family, to play with your children, to take care of them. It's not wasting time. If your intention is this is to strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthen your family members, it doesn't become a waste of time. That's what some of the ulama, some of them used to sit there, used to eat, and the person asked the question, كَمْ مَرَّ تَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. How many times are you praising Allah? Every luqma, every bite, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. They asked him, why? He said, نِعْمَ الطَّعَامِ, the blessings of food. That is food that we eat and drink on a daily basis. How much are we praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the siyaq, the context of these ayat of today, this dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we make to him. What is the context? The best example is the Prophet alayhi salam, a person full of so much spirituality, that we always make these excuses that we're busy, we don't have time for this, we can't do that. Look at all the different forms of the Prophet alayhi salam in his life. All of the different forms. Whatever role that you play him inside his life, you find him to be the unique, the ideal person. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Ideal in every single thing that he done. So the context of the ayat that we find has been established that the Prophet during the night, he would get up and he recite these final 10 verses of Surah Ali Imran. He recite the end of Surah Imran that we find in the night prayer. One narration mentions that Ibn Abbas came to to the house of Maymuna, the wife of the Prophet. Maymuna anha, was his aunt. So that's why he entered into the house, because he wanted to see how the Prophet offers the night prayer. So he rested there. And when it came to the last third of the night, the Prophet, he got up, he stood up. And he looked up to the skies, the heavens, because obviously they don't have homes and places that we have today. The Ahlul Badiyah, they live in the Sahara, in the desert. They can see the stars and everything around them. He looks to the heavens. And what does he recite? Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. The alternation of night and the day, the heavens and the earth, are signs for men of understanding to visualize, to think about this. Waylun liman qara'aha wa lam yatafakkar fiha. And he said, woe upon that person who recites these verses, doesn't ponder over these verses of Allah, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the Prophet, how he understood the context of these ayat. How we just read the Quran as an academic reading of the Quran. We don't see the spiritual version of the Quran. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of heavens and the earth, the night and the day, لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ أَصْحَابُ الْأُقُولِ. As Ibn Kathir mentioned, people who have a deep intellect, a mind, that they see everything around them and it makes them reflect and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not deaf and dumb blind individuals, but they have aqul, they have intellect. That's why the world around us is dumbing people. It's dumbing the mind not to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah warns those people, وَكَأَيِّ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِ وَهُمْ أَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. How many ayat of Allah shows us? And we just, these signs just go past us. We just turn away from them. We don't seem to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these individuals, when they see these signs, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. When they see these signs, look at the response of the believers. وَيَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا. They remember Allah standing or bowing or prostrating, and I make this dua, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You haven't created this in vanity without any purpose. As Ibn Kathir mentions in the hadith of Bukhari, he mentions, فَصَلِّ قَائِمًا. Pray standing. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا. If you can't pray standing, then pray sitting down. If you can't pray sitting down, فَعَلَى جَنْبِكْ, then lie down and pray. Why is he mentioning this hadith in this context, that there's no excuse for you to miss the prayer, for you to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you can't perform wudu, perform tayammum. Yes, we began with hafidhul as-salawat. No excuse. That always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They make this tafakkur, they're pondering over the heavens and the earth. Ibn Kathir mentions, أَيْ يَفْهَمُونَ مَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْحِكَمَةِ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى عَذَمَةِ الْخَالِقِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ. These individuals see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see the wisdom in this creation, the heavens and the earth and the stars, the sun, the moon, the oceans, everything around them. They see the wisdom behind it. They try to decipher that wisdom that Allah has placed this for them to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibn Kathir, he narrates so many different narrations about what is tafakkur, what is pondering, what is reflecting. He mentioned, Imam al-Hasan al-Basri mentioned, tafakkur sa'a khair min qiyam layla. To ponder just for a short time is better than spend all night in prayer. Tahajjud prayer. Meaning that if you're just standing in prayer, you don't really know what you're doing. It's better to have small moments in the day or in the night just to ponder and to reflect. It will be more powerful than the supererogatory prayer. Sufyan ibn Uyayna mentioned, al-fikra nur yadkhul qalbak. Fikra, a thought, is a light that enters into your heart. Because it begins to ignite something in the heart of the mind of the individual. Then Ibn Kathir narrates some lines of poetry, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ كَانَتْ لَوْ فِكْرَ. When a person has this thought, فَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عِبْرَ. When a person has this thought, this pondering, in every single thing there's an ibra, there's a lesson, there's a sign. When a person becomes a person of pondering and reflecting regarding the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wahb ibn Munabbih mentioned, the person who has excessive thinking is a person who begins to understand. When a person begins to understand, they begin that they have to have some concept of knowledge. They want to pursue that. When they pursue the path of knowledge, it leads to al-amal. It leads to action. That's what it leads to. Thinking and pondering leads to one to eventually a path of implementing that knowledge inside their life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Aziz used to mention, al-kalam bi dhikr Allah azza wa jal hasan. To make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is good. Wal-fikra fi ni'mi Allah afdul ibadah. But to ponder over the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a virtuous ibadah. Is a form of ibadah, many of us, that we could do. Bishr al-Hafi mentioned, لَوْ تَفَكَّرَ النَّاسِ فِي عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ مَعَصَوْهُ. If a person thought about, pondered over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will never disobey Allah. That's the impact it'll have upon the person's life. إِنَّ الضِّيَعُ الْإِيمَانِ أَوْنُورُ الْإِيمَانِ التَّفَكُّرُ. The light or the radiance of iman is tafakkur. Is to ponder and to reflect regarding the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then these believers, they mention, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. And a strange thing about these contexts, ayat, just as we mentioned, Surah Al-Baqarah, the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, is all accepting one's mistakes and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end of Surah Al-Imran is exactly the same. But this is one of those rare occasions that Rabbana is mentioned 5 times continuously. As Imam Sabuni said, his tafsir, he mentioned this note of tadarru' of continuously asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon, to forgive us, and to overlook us, is what the believer is asking. مَا خَلَقْتُ هَذَا عَبَثًا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا عَبَثًا. You never created this in vanity. Just like Allah mentions in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. Do you think we created you without any purpose? What do you think the purpose of the human being is? التَمَتُّعُ, just to enjoy themselves? Just to have a good life? هذا نوع من الدنيا. This is a partial element of the dunya. There's a greater purpose of the human being on the face of this earth. That's why these cliches around us that Muslims are sucking into this. Just to have a good life. You can have a good life. But that is not the all end of the purpose on the face of this dunya. Just to have a good life. There's a deeper good life in the heart and the mind of the believer. That's what the Quran is pushing the believers towards. Not just keep it upon this dunya. Search for it inside al-akhirah that we find. Subhanaka. Glorified you are. Min ayy naqs. If we have any deficiency, perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faqina adhab al-nar. And save us from the punishment of the hellfire. Just as Allah mentioned again inside towards the end of Surah Al-Imran. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah mentioned, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, whoever is rescued from the fire. That's what we're trying to do in this dunya, is to save ourselves from the punishment inside al-akhirah. فَقَدْ فَازَ. That's the ultimate success. Then Allah then mentioned, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. This world is going to be a deception. It's going to derail us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the believers, they continue this dua, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ. Oh, our Lord, whoever you throw down into the hellfire, فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ, you've degraded that individual, disgraced that individual. That's what you call disgrace. That some of us could come on the day of judgment, and there could be people that are close to around us, they could be punished inside the hellfire. مَا لَكُمْ سَقَرْ, in Saqar. Why are you inside Saqar? Inside the Jahannam, why are you there? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. We never used to pray. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. We never used to feed the poor people. And وَنَخُوذُ, we used to waste our time مَعَ الْخَاعِضِينَ. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. Just wasting our time. That's the reason that we find this world is wasting our time with this dunya. These are all things that may Allah forbid that leads a person towards Jahannam, make them end up going into Jahannam. And that person's disgrace in the day of judgment is an ultimate disgrace. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And those individuals, ظالمين, they have no helpers. And Ibn Abbas mentioned, well, ظالمين, whatever is normally mentioned in the Quran, it's kuffar, it's disbelieving individuals. As Allah mentioned just before Surah Ayatul Kursi, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The biggest oppressors are the disbelievers. Because why? Juhudun ni'am. They reject the blessings of Allah. The ultimate blessing of Allah is inkar wujud Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is rejecting the essence, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate kufr. The path of atheism that we find, rejection. There's no creator, there's no God. There's no life on this world but just to enjoy yourself. We'll see about this concept of is there God inside al-akhirah. Asatir al-awwaleen. Many of us Muslims are the same path. We'll see. We'll see what happens inside al-akhirah. But it's all around us. The Quran is awakening us. That you have to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why inside the Quran we mentioned the most pinnacle verse inside Surah Al-Baqarah. Verse 281. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day you're going to return back to Allah. وَقَدْ فُصِّلَ بَعْدَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. Isn't speaking about the last day. Someone said, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا يَوْمَ تَمُوت. The day you die. Fear that day. Because maybe even then, ishara, you may think the last day is far away from you. So they say, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. Fear that day. You know there's no doubt. No two people on the face of this earth. No two people ever differ that everything will perish, will come to an end. Whether kafir or Muslim, everybody knows we're going to die. That's it, finish. So it's now down to the individual to make that rationalistic decision. Either temporary pleasure of this dunya or eternal bliss inside an akhirah. The choice is ours. Allah has given us, all of us, that choice. Hasn't forced it upon us, given us that choice. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Have we not given you two eyes to perceive, to glance, to see, to look? Have we not given you two lips to speak, to express yourself? Have we not given you a tongue to taste, a dhawq? And likewise, we've shown you the two paths. We've shown you these two paths. The choice is now yours as a human being. To follow the right path or the evil path. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Look at the call of the believers. Believers say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. We had a caller calling to Iman. Who's the caller? The caller is the Rasul, is the messenger. Is our messenger. That's why the three questions asked inside the grave. What's one of the questions? Who is this person sent to you? Who is this person? Who's the messenger sent to you? Some Muslims, may Allah forbid, are going to say, I don't know. La adri, la adri. Man rabbuka? I don't know. I don't know who my Lord is. Good to asma. I used to hear people saying Allah from a distance. Kadabta, you lied. You lied, it's been indoctrinated within you. But you failed to ignite that within yourself to recognize Allah. وَمَا دِينُ What's your deen? What's your way of life? It's easy today living to say, yes, my way of life is Islam. But in the grave you'll find out, where it really was my life. Did I practice that inside my life? الْمَرُّ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِ A man is on the religion of his friends. Let every man look at who his comrades, his friends are. If your friends are those who remember Allah, remind you of Allah. That's this man, you sit with them. They remind you of Allah, remind you about Salah. These are good friends. These are good companions, good individuals who would khair for you. That's what you find out on that day, there will be a separation. between good and the evil people that we find. The messengers and those heard the message. And we respond to that call. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادٍ يُنَادِ الْإِيمَانَ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Respond to the call of the messengers is what us Muslims that we should be doing inside our lives. And as we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention, we make this dua, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. This is the main dua after all that beginning, that introduction. Now he comes to the main dua. Oh, our Lord, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Ibn Abbas, he mentions in tafsir this ayah. When a person makes dua, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا الْكَبَائِرِ, the major sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا, and take away our sins. Here sins means the minor sins. That's why Ibn Abbas, he translates this tafsir this ayah. That wipe out whether it be the major sins inside our life or minor sins. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَا الْأَبْرَارِ, make us die with the righteous people. Yusuf alayhi salam, al-hikni bis-salihin. Yusuf makes that dua, make me go back to be with the righteous people. أَنْتَ وَلِي فِي الدُّنْيَا الْآخِرَةَ وَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَالْحِكْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Yusuf says, Ya Allah, you're my Lord. You're my protector. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا, make me die one in submission. Submission to you and make me go back to be amongst with the pious and the righteous individuals. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Then again the dua, رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ. Oh our Lord, give us what you promised your messenger. Because the messenger, whatever he says is the truth. وَمَا يَمْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He gave us a promise. He told us, the Prophet, he saw paradise. He physically saw paradise. Not just inside paradise when he made that journey. He physically saw it inside this dunya when the grapes of paradise are shown to him. He saw Jahannam when a strand of fire is brought close to him. And he visualizes it. That's our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why he gave us all these examples. To warn us and to remind us. To respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dua concludes by mentioning رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't disgrace us on that day. Indeed, you never go against your promise. That's what we find out if you mention that in, look at the spirituality of the Qur'an and the science of the Qur'an. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals a person's sins inside this dunya, a person should be happy and content, but obviously they should be worried about their life. But if a person has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed it for them, because exposure on the day of judgment is a far greater exposure inside this dunya. And likewise, man mata ala shay faqad bu'itha alay, whoever dies upon an action will be resurrected upon that action. And that should be something to make us to think about our lives, that if I die disobeying Allah, in a state of disobedience, I'll be resurrected in that nature. And it could be in an element of privacy and secrecy, but now you're going to be resurrected in front of everyone to show that this is how this person, they died, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find that after making this supplication, we're not left without a response, just like inside Surah Al-Baqarah, the end of it, where we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, قَدْ فَعَلْتِ, indeed I've responded. So once again here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you make these five supplications, Rabbana, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah then responds this dua. Allah mentions, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. Allah then, فَاعُ التَّعْقِيبِ, that foreign, straight away, the result. That Allah does what? You make these continued supplications, Allah, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ, Allah responds to them. And Ibn Kathir, he makes his relationship, just like another verse inside Surah Al-Baqarah, to show that this is one of those rare occasions inside the Quran that Allah is responding immediately, giving this response. Where is it inside Surah Al-Baqarah? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. The fa' al-ta'qib here again. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. You ask me, and what's the response? The response isn't that later on that we'll see, or is a criteria, or you need to fulfill this. Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Like I said, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. Allah will respond to these individuals. أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكْرٍ أُنْثَى بَعْدُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. that if whoever amongst you carries out these actions, whether male or female, you'll be duly rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some of the ulama tafsir, they mention these amongst those verses which are specific for the women folk. Because remember, most of the Quran just addresses Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ibn ulama of Logha, they mentioned Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu means both male and female. But when we mention the psyche of human beings, even the companions, the wives of the Prophet alayhi salam, they asked this question, Salama asked this question, why doesn't the Quran speak directly to women? This is one of those occasions inside the Quran where it highlights these actions are specifically for men and for women, and both will be rewarded accordingly. Or innal muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. These 8 or 9 odd characteristics which I mentioned, Allah deciphers them. Specifically mention men and women, giving them their due reward inside the Quran. As Imam Tabari begins to narrate inside his tafsir, ba'dukum min ba'd. You're one to another. You complement one another, the male and the female upon this dunya. فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِ وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. This is a reward for those individuals who've been expelled from their homes, driven out their homes. They strive and they struggle. Just as we began with, life is a struggle. These are the companions that went through all these hardships. Allah doesn't let that hardship go to waste. Response to this individual gives a reward to these individuals. لَوْكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَوْدِخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. He'll wipe out their sins and enter them into paradise, whereby you find underneath it that rivers are flowing. ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the best return or the best reward is given to these individuals. And just like in the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, that's where you find that the Quran, ذُو وُجُوه, is strange. This relationship from one surah to another surah, the beginning of the surah to the end of the surah. The beginning of Surah Al Imran, Allah mentions about those individuals, Allahu indahu husnul ma'ab. Speak about the believers at this occasion, the beginning of Surah Al Imran, for these individuals will be your best return for the believing individuals. Alladhina yaquluna rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana waqina adhab an-nar. Same dua, similar dua in the beginning of Al Imran and the end of Al Imran. And then Allah then mentions the characteristics, as-sabirin, was-sadiqin, wal-qanitin, wal-munfiqin, wal-mustaghfirin bil-ashar. These are characteristics of believing individuals who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend their wealth, repenting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then comes the ultimate level of the believer. Shahid Allah annahu la ilaha illahu, wal-malaikatu wa ulul ilmi qa'iman bil-qisti la ilaha illahu, al-aziz al-hakim. The greatest science that a person can use linguistically, master inside their life, is recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find in conclusion, there's some of the lessons from these ayat that we find at the end of Surah Ali Imran. We can go back and read these final 10 verses of Surah Ali Imran. Read the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, as we mentioned previously. It's all about pondering. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't we ponder over the Qur'an? Why don't we reflect upon the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Are there shackles, chains attached to our hearts that we can't seem to decipher, understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The second extraction is continuously asking, seeking and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hassan Basri mentions that they kept on saying, رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا. Imam Qurtubi mentions that his tafsir. رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا. Until eventually what? They responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So continuously calling to Allah doesn't take anything away from the individual. There's a response that we're giving to the believing individuals. And then we find this concept of equality between male and female that we find. There's no concept of equality. It's a concept that each one is a person that complements one another. Each individual, each gender has its own roles. It's not a challenge. It's not a competition between a male and a female gender. That's not how the Quran describes it. Each one complements the other. That's how the Quran describes it. Not like the world around is trying to portray that we need to compete and rival with one another. That's why inside the tafsir of Jalalain, the two Imam Suyutis that we find, they mention, فَإِذَا كُنْتُمْ مُشْتَرِكُونَ فِي الْأَصْلِ. If you're equally the same in your beginning, فَكَذَلِكَ أَنْتُمْ مُشْتَرِكُونَ فِي الْأَجْرِ. If your essence is the same, whether it be male or female, so likewise you're going to share in the reward. It's going to be equal, except for certain elements, there could be more of a greater reward for the man over the woman that may exist. But a key element, as we began, is tafakkur, is pondering and reflecting over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to use these supplications inside the Quran of Rabbana to implore and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.